And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of Islamophobia, Fact or Fiction. In our last broadcast, we talked about the claims which the Muslims claimed about me. These are the members of CARE, the Council on America Islamic Relations, on their website. Those are the people who came, asked permission from me to allow them to record me. And I have no problem for any Muslim to record me, as I said before. But my problem is when they record me and then they edited my work, taking two very important facts out of my teaching. The word of Allah, which is in the Quran, and the teaching of Muhammad, which is in the Hadith. If you say Usama Daktok said, and it was not Usama, it was Allah, now you are liars. When you say Usama Daktok said, and it was not Usama but Muhammad, now you are liars. That is deception. That's exactly how Muslims will shut down many ministries like ours here in America. After all, what we do is called hate speech. Yes, indeed, it is hate, but it's not our speech. It is the speech of Allah in the Quran and the speech of Muhammad in the Hadith. That's exactly how Muslims lived in the last 1400 years. So, let me remind you of what Muslims said, and how I will respond to it in this study. They said,
during his presentation, Daktok also made hate-filled claims such as...
Hate-filled claims. No. Hate-filled truths. I'm not making this up. That's what is written in their ideology. That's what they believe. That's what they practice. So let's move on to the next claim. They said, I said, it's not actually a claim, it's true, as we're going to prove it today in our study.
What happened to the women and the children? They were raped. By whom? By Muhammad and his followers. And they got pregnant and they had babies. And the babies were born by the names of Fatima, Khadija, Obama, Hussein, Barack, and all these wonderful Muslim names.
Now I want you to use your imagination. I'm speaking in your church, or I'm speaking in your school, like in that case here, in that school in Ohio. And I'm going to stand in the pulpit, and the first thing I'm going to say, what happened to the women? What women? I don't know. What happened to the men? I mean, why they start editing my work by cutting everything I said about men and jump to the women? And where is the verse I was talking about? You see, if you listen to their videos, the ones they edited of my work, you have to believe that I'm a hateful minister. I mean, I am a racist, I'm a hateful, I'm an Islamophobe. I mean, this is reality. But if you listen to my video with the whole picture without any editing, you will find out Islam is a savage cult. Should never be allowed to exist in America or anywhere in the world. So now let me take you to the true story, the full picture, the full video without any editing. What I was teaching in my presentation, the infiltration of Islam in America, was as follows. First, I started with Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. These are the two verses which CARE and all Muslims always do, cut out of my teachings. They edited these verses. So here is the word of Allah.
And he brought down the people of the book who backed them from their strong places and cast the terror into their hearts. A group of them you are killing, and a group of them you are taking captive. And he made you to inherit their land and their homes and their money and a land which you had never set foot on. And Allah was mighty over all things.
That is the word of Allah. This comes directly from the Quran. I did not make this up. Now, in my presentation, when I spoke in the Ohio school, high school, I said, he here in that verse, as we see, and he is Allah. Not because I made it up, no, because Muslim scholars said so. Allah brought down the people of the book. Who are the people of the book here? These are the Jewish people of Bani Quraiza, the children of Quraiza, a Jewish community near Medina, which Muhammad and his thugs invaded for 25 nights. Okay? So he, Allah, brought down the people of the book, the Bani Qurayza, from their strong places. And what Allah did? And cast the terror into their hearts. When we say Allah in the Quran, He cast the terror into the heart of the Jewish people of Bani Qurayza, that make Allah a terrorist. Because terrorists terrorize people. Now we continue. Okay, a group of them you're killing. I said, which group is this? Was he killing those who are 50 years and older? Was he killing the children? Was he killing the men? Was he killing the women? I mean, what group? You go to Muslim scholars' interpretation to the Quran. And if you go to any scholar of your choice, they're all in agreement that the group which Muhammad were killing him and his thugs are the men. Those who have hair on their body and older. I love that how Muslims in America, they will tell you, Muhammad never killed an old man. All the wars of Muhammad, they only kill the youth who can fight. And they only engage in war, ladies and gentlemen, for defensive reasons. If somebody attack Muhammad or his people, they have to defend themselves. Therefore, Allah gives them the right to defend themselves. Hogwash. That's hogwash Islam. Because you cannot find a verse in the Quran, unabrogated verse, to teach that. There's no defensive war in Islam. Period. All the wars in the Islam, all the jihad in Islam is offensive, not defensive. We shared with you in our last study about this book, the Exposing the Truth about Jihad, Holy War in the Bible. Well, guess what? My new book, Volume 2, Unholy War in the Quran, Exposing the Truth about Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, is going to be available sometime next month. We're almost finished editing it. And as you read the Volume 2 of that book, surprise, surprise, not one time Muhammad engaged in war, in a defensive war, not one time Muhammad performed jihad in a defensive jihad. It was always offensive. He's the one who started, and he's the one who is savage of practicing it. In that verse here, Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27, Muhammad invaded Bani Qurayza, a few miles away from the city of Medina. 25 nights, they ran out of food, they ran out of water, they are struggling to survive. They actually came out of their homes with white rags, surrendering to Muhammad. They told him, as I wrote in my new book, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran. They told Muhammad, we'll give you anything you want. They're actually going to leave their weapons, their sword and their spear, so to assure Muhammad, they're not going to go in war with him. They're going to leave their homes, they're going to give their land. Just they were asking for a way to get out. If Muhammad was only engaged in war, in defensive war, why he were engaged in war with these people? A people who's willing to give their homes, their land, their money, their spears and their sword to run for their life. No, no. It was offensive war. It was a savage war led by Muhammad himself. How do we know? Read the Quran. Read the interpretation of the Quran, my friend. My Muslim friends, if you are listening to me right now, I'm not making this up. You go to your scholars and you read, and they say what? Muhammad was washing his blood from the previous battle. And the angel Jibreel came to Muhammad. Oh, Muhammad, why are you washing your blood, the blood from your sword? Did the angels of Allah stop fighting? He said, no. He said, rise, Muhammad, and go to Bani Qurayza. In the Bible, it says, rise, Jonah, and go to the people of Nineveh. To share with them about the love of God. That's in the Bible. In the Quran, the angel told Muhammad, rise to go engage in war with Bani Qurayza. And they did. Even though the people were submitting, they give up everything. They are willing to leave their homes and their city and their sword and their spears. They will leave without them. Muhammad chose not to have peace. Why? Because now he has the upper hand. Why? Because he now can have victory against these people. They killed in that one afternoon between 700 to 900 Jewish men, including all men of between the age of having hair on their body all the way to the 90 or 100 or even 110 years old. They kill all men who cannot fight, period. They're old people. That is the first group. A group of them you are killing, says Muslim scholar, all the men, as we shared before here. How about the second group? And a group of them you are taking captive. That's where I said in my presentation, the infiltration of Islam to America, what happened to the women? So I did not just stood up on the stage and made up the statement, what happened to the women? What happened to the women? what happened to the men. The men were already killed by the hand of Muhammad and his early thugs, the Muslim believers. What happened to the women? Here we go. And a group of them you're taking as captives. These are the women and the children. Not because I said so, but because Muslim scholars interpreted and said so. I am reporting to you what happened 1400 years ago. And the verse did not stop there. And he said what? These are the women. And he made you to inherit their land, their homes, and their money. And a land which you had never set a foot on. And I put here, i.e. USA. Because believe it or not, Muslims believe, ladies and gentlemen, the earth is Allah. If it is Canada, if it is America, United States, or South America, if it is Australia, if it is New Zealand, if it is Europe, if it is Asia, if it is China, the earth is Allah. Allah owns this land. And Allah gave it to the Muslims. All what the Muslims need to do is just walk in it, and they set their foot on it. As they walk on this land, it became theirs. So when Muslims come to America, they're not here because the love of our freedom, our democracy. No, they're here to take over America. And because we're so naive and we're so ignorant of Islam, we're giving them America. They don't even have to fight for it. They don't have to go in war to get it. We're just giving it to them. That's exactly what the liberals in America are doing. Give America to the Muslims. Bring more Muslims. Hey, help yourself. We need a few more million refugees from all over the Muslim world to come to America, and we give them our country. And when they have the upper hand, Quran 47, 35, trust me, they will take over America, even by the edge of the sword. Now, that is concerning this verse. Now, I said in my statement, as I mentioned earlier, what happened to these women? They were raped. I made this up. I just decided to lie and be an Islamophobic guy, and I say, they raped the women. No, that's exactly what happened. Who raped these women? Muhammad and his early Muslim believers. This is exactly what Sa'd ibn Mu'az said. You see, when these people were willing to submit, they said, we will accept the judgment of Sa'd ibn Mu'az. That is a man who hated them so much because he was wounded in a previous battle by the Jewish people. And he prayed to Allah, oh Allah, if you can keep me alive for the nearest opportunity where I can revenge and kill the Jewish people. When the opportunity came. And Muhammad said, whatever Sa'd ibn Mu'az says, however he judged between me and you, I will take. What Sa'd ibn Mu'az said, all the boys and grown-up men, all the boys who have hair on their body and the grown-up men must be beheaded. Yep, 700 to 900 were beheaded on that afternoon. And the women and the children to be given to the Muslim believers, those who work so hard to invade that village. I mean, you talk about 25 nights working so hard to invade the village of Bani Qurayza. Well, Muhammad himself got two ladies. No kidding. The Apostle of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, got two ladies. One of them by the name Safiya, the daughter of Huyay. She was a beautiful young lady, just been married to her husband. And Muslim scholars tell us that Muhammad have her in his tent to be involved with sexually in the same night the Muslim believers killed her husband, her father, and her brother. This is not my words, that Muslim scholars' interpretation for these words of Allah in the Quran. So what Muhammad was doing with her, he was raping her. Oh, no, Brother Usama, you're exaggerating. He married her. He fell in love with her, and he married her in the same night of the day where he killed her husband and her father and her brother. You know what? According to Sharia, Islamic law, Muhammad, according to the word of Allah in the Quran, okay, the Quran, teach that Muhammad should never be involved with her sexually for at least 3 months in case she's pregnant by her husband, whom they killed on the same day. No, but see, Allah and Muhammad have their own system, have their own rules. Forget about what I said. These rules is for the Muslim, but not for Muhammad. He was involving with her sexually in the same night he killed her husband. I'll show you what kind of Muhammad is. He's a rapist. That's not marriage, that's not love. Because even if fall in love with her, don't you think he should give her time to mourn the death of her husband? No. Same night, having good time with her in bed, because he is a womanizer, as Allah stated in Quran chapter 33 and verse 50. You can read the Quran, find out for yourself what I'm telling is truth. And we're going to see more about that. So that is what I thought about that verse. I did not make claims. I did not made some hateful claims. It's truth. What I taught is true. That's why Muslims today in the world who follow the Son of Muhammad believe that they have the right to invade the West, kill the American men, and rape their wives and their daughters. That is the foundation. What we read in the Quran here, the Sunnah of Muhammad, how Muhammad believed and practiced these verses, that's exactly what Muslims believe. And that they will come, and Muslims in America will be killing you, American men, and they will be raping your wives and your daughters. And trust me, when you rape a woman plenty of times, somehow they get pregnant. And when that day come, the daughters of your wives and your daughters and the sons of your wives and your daughter will have Muslim names. That is what I said in that presentation. Muhammad and Barack Hussein and Obama and Fatma and Khadija and all these Muslim names. That's how America will be invaded by the Muslims in the near future, like you see it today happening in Europe. We got video to prove to you and show you the killing and the raping is happening all over Europe. And believe it or not, it's coming to a city near you, even here in America. Well, let's move on in our study to see what other claims I made in that presentation. Infiltration of Islam in America.
With Allah, they will die, and for sure they will spend eternity in hell with Muhammad and with all previous Muslims and Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and everyone who think by going to some church will make it to heaven.
What's so amazing, when the Muslim put that statement about me, they actually said that I hate myself. Not only I hate Muslims, I hate Baptists and Presbyterians and myself. And people believe them. You know why? Because, once again, they're taking these statements out of context. That's not what I said. There's previous verses, a previous statement I put before I made that. This was in the end of our study, which they put in the middle of their talk. They're very smart. That's deception. And I was giving the invitation to my audience. And I'm telling them, it's not because you go to some church that you're a Christian. And that's what I will tell you right now. It's not because you belong to some Baptist or Presbyterian church or some Catholic church. That doesn't make you a Christian. Or everybody set a foot in a church is a Christian. You're a Christian by believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're a Christian by repenting of your sin and living right before God. You're a Christian by living the Word of God, the Bible teaching in every day of your life. Just recently I was with a friend who is telling me he's a Christian. And only God knows his heart. But he is taking sin so lightly that he have no problem to live in sin because he said, after all, I'm forgiven. I'm set free from the law and I can do whatever I want and I can say whatever I want. I'm sorry. That make me wonder his salvation. Only God knows his heart. He may be misunderstanding the scripture, but he's not living the Christian life. This is a huge red flag, as big as China. We no longer present, live our life as we wish, but we must present our body as a living sacrifice. I will not speak garbage out of my mouth and say I'm a Christian. I will not live in sin and say I'm a Christian. Yes, I sin, and so is you. But when we sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin, then we have to repent of it, not just live in it and enjoy it. That's a very bad flag here. Something is wrong with your walk with Christ. So it's not because you go to some church that you're a Christian. And I said, when Muslims die, they will spend their eternity in hell with Allah, because obviously I believe Allah is Satan. Allah is not God. Allah is not triune. He is not a Father and a Son and Holy Spirit. That is the devil. If Allah is God, why in the Quran he orders the Muslim people to kill the Christians who believe in Jesus to be God, who worship Jesus Christ as God? That's not the same God. Allah is Satan. So I said, Muslims, when they die, they will spend eternity in hell with Allah, with Satan. And also all those who claimed to be Christian, if it is Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian, those who do not trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will also spend eternity in hell. It's not because I hate the Baptist. No. I said those who claim to be Baptist, those who claim to be a Christian, whatever denomination you go to. You know the scripture teach that they will cry out, Lord, Lord, we preach in your name. There is a place for preacher in hell. We prophesy in your name. We perform miracles in your name. We cast demons in your name. You know what Jesus would say to these preachers? Away from me, you evildoers. I do not know you. How can Jesus know you? It's when he writes your name in the book of life. How Jesus writes your name in the book of life? When you confess him as Lord and Savior. When you live right according to the teaching of the Bible. According to the teaching of Jesus himself. That's how we know for sure we have eternal life. And that's how we know for sure we will be in heaven when we die. Not because we go to some church. So I did not say Baptist and Catholic and everybody go to hell and I hate even myself. No. If you claim to be a Christian because you go to some church and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you will end in hell. You don't have to believe in hell to go to hell. But you must believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior to get to heaven. Now, let's move on with one more statement. They said, I claim, but listen carefully what they said, how I said it. Here we go.
Killing us is a small matter for Muslims.
You Samad Dakdok made that hateful claim that killing us is a small matter for Muslims. Excuse me. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. In that context? No. Why? Because there was a statement on the video, if you watch even the video which was recorded by the Muslims. If you go on CARE website right now and you watch this presentation, stop the camera, okay, stop the video, hit stop or freeze it, and watch what is written behind you on the screen. As I said, their camera was on the right hand, so I'm standing like that, and the big screen was in my left hand. And read what is written on the statement by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri. And you know what? You didn't have to go to their video. I will just show it to you. Here is what we have on that night. Exactly. Look at this here. Al-Tabri. This is the statement which they will not play for their audience. They cut it out. Because if you listen to the video without the editing, we find out it was not Usama Dakdok who said, killing us is a small matter. It is their own Muslim scholars. Let's play it and listen carefully to what the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri said about killing the infidels.
Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent, and the best in deeds. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of His messenger. We engage in war with people until they believe in Allah. He who believes in Allah and His messenger has protected his life and possessions from us. As for one who disbelieves, we will engage in war with him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us.
So once again, this is not Usama Dakdok. This is the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri. He's telling us that Arabs are the best. I do not know why Arabs always brag about themselves. They invented nothing. They did not do any good to humanity the last 1400 years. But listen to why. His own words. He said, why? Because they are the one who believes in Muhammad. They are the first to believe in Muhammad. They are Allah's helpers. Excuse me, what? Yes, indeed. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of His messenger. Excuse me. If your God needs your help, you need to find a different God, okay? If your Allah need help from you, the servant, the believers in Allah, find yourself a different Allah. That Allah is no good. I thank God because my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, does not need my help. The Holy Spirit and the Father does not need my help. The God of the Bible does not need anybody's help. He is very well, strong, full knowledge, full power, for everything. He does not need us. If I can tell you, I need Jesus' help every minute, every second, every breath. When I go like this, when I have bought air in my lungs and get it out, I needed Jesus' help. But Jesus does not need my help for anything. Nothing you or I can do to help God. Or that God we worship is not God. Now, he said, they are Allah's helpers. And then he said, look at this. That is the words of Al-Tabri, not me. We engage in war with people. Engage in war with who? With people. Which people? People. That is, let me spell it for you in case you misunderstand. He said, it's a P-E-O-P-L-E, people. Now ask yourself, are you a people? Are American people? Are infidels people? If you are people, guess what? Muslims are ordered by Allah and the scholars' interpretation, like Al-Tabri, to engage in war with you. Why? Listen, killed. Until they believe in Allah. It's not because they're engaging in war with us. It's not because they're making fun of us, draw a cartoon of our prophet, or mock our Quran, or mock our Islam. No. Until you believe in Allah, until you become a Muslim, Muslim will continue to engage in war with you. And listen carefully. Here it is. He who believes in Allah and his messenger, Muhammad, okay, has protected his life and possessions from us. Do you want to protect your wife and your children and your life and your home and your business? Well, there is only one way. Convert to Islam. Believe in Allah. Believe in Muhammad. You know why? Here we go. Listen to this of it. He said, As for one who disbelieves, we will engage in war with him for the next 10 years. For the next 20 years. No, it's forever. You know what forever is? It's a long time until the last infidel is dead. When this will start? When Muslims have the upper hand. When Muslims will have the upper hand in America? When we allow the liberal Democrats and others to bring them to America. When they have the large number of people and weapons, that is when the end will come. And it could be very soon. It could be very soon. Now, they're not killing people for any reason, but listen to this. We will engage in war with him, the people, or he changed from plural to singular here, with them forever in the cause of Allah. And listen carefully, killing him is a small matter to us. This is not my words, my dear friends. These are the words of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari. So it's not Usama Dakda's claim. It is Muslim deception. It is a lie. So when they edited my video, taking the words of the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabri out and make me the hateful person. No, I'm not a hateful person. I will never teach hate. I challenge you to show me one video or 1 minute in any of my videos where I said, let's kill the Muslims. Let's hate the Muslims. They're our enemies. No, 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 no. I always say, let's love the Muslims. But let us love them for Jesus. Let's love the Muslim for heaven, not for hell. There are plenty of liberals in this country who love the Muslims so much who are willing to give them America. They're willing to give them their daughters. As a matter of fact, now there are many men in America converting to Islam to marry the Muslim young ladies. It's amazing. While the Muslim world, especially in the Middle East, are leaving Islam, sadly, many of them becoming atheists and agnostics, the useful idiot Americans are becoming Muslims. To be used by the Muslims to help the Muslims to take over America. That everything we teach in our presentation will be fulfilled. Yes, Muslims will continue to come to America. They will continue to grow in America in number and in power. And they will have the upper hand someday. And that is where we will see the end of America, the end of our existence. My dear friends, the subject is deep. We're just starting in our study. As we continue, we'll show you that it is not Islamophobia. It's not a phobia. It's a fact. It's not a fiction. It's a fact. Not because I want you to live in fear, but because I want you to know the truth, that you may truthfully love the Muslim people, and that you may truthfully reach out to them with the truth of the gospel, that they may get saved. They are victims of Islam. And we must love them for Jesus. And to continue our study of Islamophobia, fact or fiction, please join us again in the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.